Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. This week, an exhibit on display at the Tet Centre is highlighting the stories of people in Kingston who have faced homelessness and who have found support through Lionhearts. The exhibit, entitled A Sheltered Life, features portraits of 10 individuals who have experienced housing insecurity, with their redemptive stories displayed alongside the work. The project includes work by artists Sherry Dosager, Ben Spadzinski, and Kyla Todd, and also serves as a fundraiser supporting Lionhearts' transitional housing initiatives. At present, 34 persons have been placed into safe, affordable homes through Lionhearts. Still, as of early 2026, more than 570 people in Kingston are experiencing homelessness. Through this exhibit, the artists hope to bring attention to the human stories behind those numbers. I joined artist Kyla Todd at the Tet Gallery this week, and she shared how the project first came together.
Well, it started, I would say, like over a year ago. I was chatting with my friend Al Dosager, and I said to him, I have this idea of drawing, painting portraits and telling stories. And he was like, that's a great idea. And I said, but, you know, I can't do it myself. Like, I don't have a connection with anyone, really. But he did. Like, he works at Lionhearts. And so we decided to work together. And he, because he's sort of like on the ground, you know, like chatting with people. He's somebody that people trust really well. And so he was like, okay, this is a good idea. I'm going to make it happen. It started off slowly. Like, I didn't hear anything for like a few months. And then one day, Al and I, we went and we chatted with some people at the line. It was actually at the shelter that was on Adelaide at the time. And that was, I think, maybe in the summer. And then in September, it was myself, Al, and Sherry, who's the other artist. We all got together and we started chatting. And so from there, it was like Al's job to figure out, okay, who first of all, people have to be willing to tell their stories, right? So whose stories are we going to tell? And then once we started to figure out whose stories we're going to tell, it was like Sherry and I wanted to meet them. So, and the only person that I painted that I didn't get to meet was Andrew, or Andy, but everyone else, like I went down and Ben, our photographer, took a lot of the really awesome, you know, photos, but the ones that I painted from, most of them, except for Andrew, like I took just because I was there meeting with them. We figured out, so I would have figured out who I was painting at least maybe about by December is when my first painting was Justin, so I started painting him, and then basically I spent like the month of January and February, like that's all I did was paint.
Todd says the project was always about more than creating portraits. The artists wanted the work to help people connect with the stories behind each face.
What I wanted, like, and why I wanted to be art is because, you know, like art is a, it connects you with people, right? You look at an art piece and you feel something in your heart for whatever reason. And even when you're painting, like creating a piece of art is like, it's like a part of you. Do you know what I mean? So the whole purpose of this was to show really that we're all connected. You know what I mean? Like we're all humans. These people are in a situation, but we're connected with them. And the idea was to hopefully make us realize that really this could happen to anyone. Like we're all like a tragedy or two or like a few really bad months away from being in this situation ourselves. And so creating art is like a way of breaking down a barrier, I felt.
Every portrait was created with that connection in mind, placing each person in a setting that reflected part of their personal story.
Well, definitely when we were doing the portraits, we wanted there to be context. Because for one thing, when it's just a painting, of, say, a face, and you don't necessarily know the person, you may not feel as connected to just a face. But if you see somebody sitting on bleachers, for example, and you can imagine being there with them. So, like, doing the portraits in a context was important, to show a bit about who they are and their situations. So Andy's on the bleachers because that's where he lived for a good chunk of time, like under the bleachers. So when they found him, when they were able to talk to him, that's where they talked to him, on the bleachers, because that's where he was living for a good chunk of time. And Kenny right here, this is the painting with a mop and the bucket. So we painted him in this long hallway because that's the hallway of the shelter. So if you read his story, you'll realize that he has been working at the shelter. But just showing him in this context was important to us, mm-hmm. You know, and Phyllis knitting. So for me, like, Phyllis is the one that her story breaks my heart. Well, they all are heartbreaking, but just to know that she's in a safe place right now and knitting, that it's really important.
Since the opening show last weekend, Todd says the exhibit has drawn strong reactions from visitors, many of whom have been deeply moved by the stories being shared.
There's quite a lot of people here, and people were moved by the stories, and we had some people who were crying, you know, because it's really sad, some of the situations. And people were very happy that that we've done this. And I was talking to a woman from City Hall, and she wants to take the whole thing down to City Hall. It's a possibility. And people were just overall very supportive of the project. And I think a lot of people resonated with sort of our intentions. Certain people resonated with certain people's stories, right? Like, so some people would come up to me and say, like, oh my gosh, like, Phyllis's story. And I was like, I know. You know, so people saying that they really loved the stories. They loved how they were written. They loved how, it was Al who wrote the stories, and it just felt like somebody was just speaking. Do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel formal. It just felt like a person telling the story in a really meaningful way.
For Todd, the goal of the project is ultimately connection, helping people recognize the humanity they share with those whose lives have taken very different paths.
I hope that they walk away feeling a greater sense of their connection to other humans. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all in this together, and we are here, I don't know, we're here for each other. Like, this idea that we are separate from each other, like, I want us to be able to understand this, like, shared humanity that we have.
A Sheltered Life will be on display in the Tech Gallery until Friday, March 13th. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. I'm Henry, here with your Queen's Campus Beat, Queen's Campus News on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca. A group of Queen's students and a faculty member who were stranded in Doha, Qatar, following regional airspace shutdowns have now safely returned to Canada. The group, 16 students traveling with biology professor Stephen Longheed, had been returning from a field study course in Sri Lanka when their flight toward Toronto was forced to turn around on February 28th, after airspace closures linked to the escalating conflict in the Middle East. After landing back in Doha, the group spent about a week waiting in a hotel while flights across the region were disrupted. During that time, Queen's University said it remained in regular contact with the travelers and their families while coordinating with travel assistance services and Canadian officials. In a statement released Tuesday, March 10th, the university confirmed that the students and Longheed successfully returned to Canada, landing in Toronto on Monday night. Some students have since traveled home to their families, while others have returned to Kingston as the winter term continues. In on-campus affairs, developments continue following the resignation of Alma Mater Society president Jana Amer. at a special assembly meeting held March 3rd, beginning at 7 p.m., the AMS assembly formally voted to accept Amer's resignation after weeks of controversy surrounding her use of the presidential credit card. The meeting was chaired by AMS Chief Governance Officer and focused primarily on a motion confirming the terms of the resignation. Amer had originally announced her decision to step down on March 1st, stating that the AMS deserves stability, focus, and the ability to move forward. Her resignation became effective as of March 9th, leaving the undergraduate student government without a president for the remainder of the term. The issue stems from revelations earlier this year that some personal purchases, including clothing, Uber rides, and a Costco transaction, had been mistakenly charged to the AMS presidential credit card. In the aftermath, AMS executives have acknowledged the organization is in what they describe as a fragile state while preparing for the leadership transition. The Vice President of University Affairs and Vice President of Operations have both said maintaining continuity in service and governance is the immediate priority as the society determines how to fill the vacancy through the end of the academic year. In other on-campus news, inner-city transportation operations are expanding. German mobility company Flexbus has added a new stop directly on the Queen's campus as part of an expansion of its Ontario routes. The service now connects Kingston with cities including Toronto and Ottawa, with two daily departures planned. The new stop is intended to provide an additional travel option for students and Kingston residents who previously relied primarily on Via Rail, Megabus, and other regional bus carriers. The company says the move is part of its broader strategy to increase connections between mid-sized cities and major urban centers across Ontario. In additional university news with international implications, a senior military fellowship previously connected to Queen's has been cancelled by the United States government. The decision was announced February 27th by officials in the Trump administration who stated they would discontinue the fellowship agreement with Queen's and other institutions they criticized as woke breeding grounds. The fellowship had historically brought senior military officers to Canadian universities for academic exchange and research. Queen's is among the institutions affected by the cancellation, which reflects broader tensions between the administration and universities it perceives as politically opposed to its policies. Finally, new scientific research from Queen's is shedding light on the composition of the Earth itself. Researchers at the university are using geoneutrinos, subatomic particles produced during radioactive decay deep within the planet, to better understand the structure and materials that make up the Earth's interior. Because geoneutrinos can travel through rock and metal with very little interference, scientists can measure them to infer information about the distribution of radioactive elements within the mantle and crust. The research contributes to a long-standing question in geology: precisely what materials make up the deep interior of the Earth, and how those materials drive processes such as mantle convection and the planet's internal heat. I've been Henry Walker here with your Queen's Campus Beat on CFRC 101.9 FM.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, March 11th, high of 8, but with the rain and snow mix in the forecast, it's going to feel closer to 3, and then overnight we'll drop down to minus 3. Thursday, March 12th, daytime high of 1 degree, overnight low of minus 7. Friday, March 13th, that's right, Friday the 13th, a scary little bit of snow in the forecast. Not too much accumulation, but you hate to see it all the same. Going to feel closer to minus 4, even though the daytime high is listed at 2. Saturday, March 14th, right around 0 for your daytime high, feeling closer to minus 6. Sunday, March 15th, high of 3 degrees, but afternoon snow in the forecast, feeling closer to minus 4. And then starting off next week, Monday, March 16th, daytime high of 3, feeling closer to minus 4, with an overnight low of minus 12. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. As a reminder, overnight street parking restrictions have been eased as of March 1st. This means that overnight street parking is only banned when the weather conditions require it. In terms of road closures for the week, Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. The other major road closure for this week is Berry Street to Queen, which is closed indefinitely for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. That's it. That's all I have for you this week. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all safe travels.
What's your favorite hockey team? I love the Habs. Go Habs, go. Hello, hello, and happy Leprechaun Week. It's your girl Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I've got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. On Wednesday, March 11th, Why Not Theater presents What You Won't Do for Love, a hybrid live theater and film performance starring renowned environmentalists Drs. David Suzuki and Tara Cullis, reflecting on their 50-year relationship, their shared adventures, and their advocacy for the planet. This charming and conversational show asks, can we learn to love the planet as much as we love other people? That's so beautiful for me. I wish that kind of love for everyone who wants it. Find them at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rose and Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. The Wonderful Women Community Choir will be meeting at Crossroads United Church at 1 p.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. Don't forget to bring your wonderful voices. Are you an adult who faces social anxiety barriers? Not to fret, I've got something just for you. A social anxiety improv class designed with extra care to make sure you always feel supported. Drop by at the Tet Center at 5 p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. Feeling crafty or looking for a new DIY? On Thursday, March 12th, visit the Craft Collective featuring DIY sugar scrubs at Duncan MacArthur Hall, room A330 at 12 p.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. Sweet Surrender, a comedy by Matthew McKeever, will also be happening on Thursday at the Domino Theater, the Davies Foundation Auditorium, at 7:30 p.m. Winter's calling, but we're declining her. Something in the Water Brewing Company is turning up the heat with a swimsuit beach party. Throw on your best beachwear, tropical shirt, sunnies, or full resort core fantasy. There's even a prize for best beachwear, so don't hold back. Expect fruity drinks, bright flavors, and your first beer on the house. Tickets are selling fast, so be sure to get yours soon. Thursday at Something in the Water Brewing Company at 7 p.m. until 11 o'clock p.m. Do you like bingo? Now, what about, and hear me out, drag bingo? Interested? Daft Brewing at 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. Be there or be a square. Can't get enough of après-ski? Head on over to 100 Below Duck Pond, an après-ski event sponsored by Jaeger at the Toucan at 9:30 p.m. until 1 o'clock a.m. On Friday, March 13th, stay safe and check out A Perfectly Reasonable Night of Comedy at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. The Kingston beloved Fish Friday returns to the Italo-Canadian Club of Kingston. Inspired by the long-standing Italian practice of enjoying seafood during Lent, Fish Friday has grown into a much-anticipated community event open to everyone. Whether you observe the tradition or simply love a generous seafood buffet, this is a night to gather, savor, and celebrate. Drop in anytime between 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Also on Friday, come out and show us your talent at Open Mic at Storrington Lions Club Hall at 5:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. And of course, Friday night karaoke at The Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. Maybe this time we could do some Celtic tunes, because on Saturday, March 14th, we celebrate Paddy's. Happy early St. Patrick's Day from your number one certified leprechaun, and I better see everyone's best jig. If you're looking for activities to do, I've got you covered. Join Diana Jackson for Paper as Sculpture Workshop, a playful hands-on workshop exploring abstract printmaking, memory, and sculptural form. Find her at the Tet Center at 11 a.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. Every 2 weeks, four artists, Patty Groom, Michel Larose, Bob Young, and Michael Flault, gather to share new work and the quiet discipline of critique. The setting is informal. Canvases leaning against the walls, the scent of paint in the air, talk that begins softly and deepens with trust. Each artist brings a distinct vision shaped by years of practice beyond the studio. Interested to see what they've got? Drop by the collective session exhibit opening at Kingston Frameworks at 5 p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. On Sunday, March 15th, we have Curious George, the Golden Meatball. based on the books by Margaret and H.A. Ray, and the play owned by Universal Stage Productions, join Curious George for a lovable adventure, specifically designed for young audiences, that is sure to leave your audiences singing and swinging down the aisles. Check it out at the Kingston Grand Theater Rose and Auditorium at 3:30 p.m. Swing by the Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center grounds at 9 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. And of course, swing by Sunday Fun Day for fun activities at the Great Lakes Museum at 10 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up, our concerts calendar. Wednesday, March 11th, I've got a packed night of live music across the city. Over at the Bank Gastro Bar, Head Over Heels perform from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., playing some great folk, jazz, classic rock, and contemporary tunes. To finish off your night, join and cheer on Frank Ryan as he performs live at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar from 8 to 11 p.m. On Thursday, March 12th at 12 p.m., enjoy a beautiful midday performance at St. George's Cathedral. The fundraising recital by Mellow's Choir and Period Instruments features uplifting Renaissance and Baroque works by Bach, Byrd, and Monteverdi. It's free will offering with donations supporting Mellow's concerts and early music education outreach. The recital runs until 12:50 p.m. In the evening, Juno Award winner Steve Mariner takes the stage at the club at the RCHA from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. This Ottawa-raised, Toronto-based multi-instrumentalist and Maple Blues Award winner is known as one of Canada's hardest-working performers, and this is your chance to see him up close and personal. Wrapping up the night, Lucanus Pell performs at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., giving us 3 hours of great pop, rock, and indie tunes to get us in the weekend spirit. On Friday the 13th at 5 p.m., Matt Dixon performs at the Cove Inn until 8 p.m., while Tyler Brett Forks brings an acoustic mix of classics and originals to the Waterfront River Pub and Terrace from 6 to 9 p.m. Celebrate St. Paddy's in a big way at the Spire, starting at 7:30 p.m. with East Coast Experience featuring Irish Millie. Expect high-energy East Coast and Celtic music, big harmonies, and full St. Paddy spirits. Doors open at 7 p.m. Also, don't forget about International Women's Day at the club at the RCHA from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., led by Marion Drexler Band. An unforgettable night honoring and uplifting women through the power of music. If you're planning on having a late night, head to the Toucan where Sons of Rick and TV Dog take the stage from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. On Saturday, March 14th, I've got the spotlight event of the evening. My favorite, Jazz at Lincoln Center. Great American crooners at the Kingston Grand Theater Rose and Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. This show features Robbie Lee, Chanel Johns, and Downbeat Magazine's number one rising star male vocalist Benny Benack III, celebrating legends like Sinatra, Tony Bennett, and Bobby Darin. Expect timeless classics like I've Got You Under My Skin, Misty, and Moon River, plus stories from jazz history. Also at 7:30 p.m., the Celtic Kitchen Party presented with Kingston Senior Center and Spearhead Brewing Company takes over the Spire for a lively East Coast-inspired celebration. Bit more of a country fan? Catch Nate Holler at the Broom Factory at 7:30 to 10 o'clock p.m. Or head over to one of my favorite places, the Toucan for No More New Band and Why Go from 10:30 p.m. until 2 a.m. On Sunday, March 15th, to wrap up the week nice and early, we got Hands in Her Pockets at the Kingston Grand Theater at 2 p.m. Also at 2 p.m., Kent Nicholson performs some great pop, rock, and indie hits at Spearhead Brewing Company. Can't make that one? No worries, he's got another set at 5 o'clock p.m. At 7 o'clock p.m., don't miss Sean McCann as he sings the Great Big Songbook at the Spire, an evening of unforgettable songs and stories. The Rock Orchestra by Candlelight is also coming to Kingston at Slush Puppy Place at 8 o'clock p.m., bringing on a dramatic fusion of rock anthems and classical strings in a candlelit setting, a concert you can't miss. And closing out the week full of genres of music, we've got Scott Owen hitting the stage at the Brass Pub with a night full of country tunes at 10 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.